Yes, we are back at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell, and we have been breaking down all the action from the NBA playoffs, previewing this weekend's game. But right now, we are going to head into the strike zone. We're going to shift gears and focus our attention on the Detroit Tigers, who have won three straight AL Central crowns, entering into the 2014 season, and look to be the favorites to come away with the division title again. And that's where our next conversation will take us. It is such a pleasure to welcome in this evening Mike Eisenberg, who is the coordinating producer with Fox Sports Detroit. He's going to help us go behind the scenes of the Detroit Tigers. Also, he's going to share about a new book that he co-authored with Mario Impemba, the television voice for the Detroit Tigers. And of course, the title of the book is If These Walls Could Talk, Detroit Tigers, Stories from the Detroit Tigers Dugout, Locker Room, and the Press Box. Good evening, Mike. It's great to have you with us on this Friday night.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, another season of very big expectations for the Tigers as we are quickly wrapping up, hard to believe, the month of April. Just give us a sense of how things are playing out so far, and we'd love to hear some objective analysis.
Well, the Tigers made a big shift this offseason by trading Prince Fielder, and they acquired Ian Kinsler from the Texas Rangers. And the thinking was that this was a team that was built around power with Miguel Cabrera, of course, Victor Martinez, Prince Fielder, but they couldn't manufacture runs. So instead of waiting for the three-run homer, they decided to play a little bit more of a National League style of baseball. Brad Ausmus is the new manager. He has a National League background. So right now they're sitting at 10-8. They've gotten off to an okay start. The American League is really – parity has really struck the American League. I mean – you know, the best team is Texas, and except for Houston, Seattle, everybody is kind of right around that 500 level. I think this team is still sort of figuring out its identity and some new pieces and trying to incorporate the new style of ball that they're playing.
How much do you think the Detroit Tigers, how much do they miss Prince Fielder, since you just mentioned him right off the top?
Well, he's gone off to a terrible start in Texas, which a lot of people were surprised about. But the thing with Prince is that he had signed that 9-year contract a couple of years ago, came here, and his dad obviously played here. He grew up here, and the expectations were really high. Last year, I think everybody soured on him a little bit. He had a difficult personal season, and his stats reflected it. And in the playoffs, he couldn't buy a hit. So people were frustrated, and I think that people were happy to be able to get out of that contract because the Tigers paid about $30 million to the Rangers, and they had to eat the rest of his contract, which was over $20 million a year.
We were talking about the Detroit Tigers this weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Mike Eisenberg, the coordinating producer with Fox Sports Detroit, is joining us. We're going to talk about his new book that is out here momentarily. But so much of the Tigers' success, really, as you look over the past 3 years and what they've been able to accomplish, has been predicated on their power, their pitching. What is your belief in terms of what they're going to be able to do in terms of how deep they can go into the postseason with the pitching that they have?
Well, that's going to be a great question, because last year and in the previous year, it was the big four: Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer, Anibal Sanchez, and Doug Fister. And they traded Fister in the offseason partly because they wanted to shed some salary, so they ended up signing Miguel Cabrera to an extension, and so they could try to sign Max Scherzer, which they haven't been able to do. So right now the big four is the big three, and Justin has pitched well this year. He was inconsistent last year for him, but it was a year that most pitchers would kill for. Max was 21-4 last year, so obviously tremendous year for him. He's picked up right where he's left off. He's already lost a game, so that was a big deal, but he's pitched very well. And Anibal Sanchez, who's really the unsung hero, won the ERA title last year. He's pitched very well as well. The two questions in the starting rotation: Rick Porcello, Drew Smyly. Drew Smyly pitched on Wednesday night and pitched okay. He's been rained out a couple of times as the fifth starter, so he's only made two starts. Rick Porcello has shown some signs that maybe he's starting to get it. He's still, I think, 25 years old. So the pitching is certainly going to be the key. And when you're talking about a 1-2-3 man rotation in the playoffs, you're not going to beat the guy who won the Cy Young this year, the guy who won the Cy Young in the MVP 2 years before that, and the guy who led the American League in ERA last year.
I want to give you a quick question. Talking about Justin Verlander, he had that core muscle surgery in the offseason. How is his health-wise? I mean, is he doing okay in terms of that, in the recovery?
It's really been stunning, because I was at the first couple of days of spring training, and he was a little bit behind. He had the surgery in January. Miguel Cabrera had the same surgery in December. And for both of those guys, obviously, you're swinging a bat, core is really important, your pitching core is really important. And he looked pretty good in spring training when I saw him. He missed basically one start of spring training and then caught up to everyone else. He pitched on opening day. He pitched well. His velocity is down a little bit, but he's also, you know, he's another year older, and there's only so many bullets that every pitcher has in his arm. But he's looked like Justin Verlander, and that's the best news that they could get.
We're going one-on-one with Mike Eisenberg with Fox Sports Detroit, the coordinating producer. We're going to be talking about the new book that is out, If These Walls Could Talk, Detroit Tigers. Check that out online. And we are so glad you're with us at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Now, one of the questions we got to talk about is filling the shortstop position. Jose Iglesias, you know, out with what, stress fractures in both of his legs. Who has really stepped in and been that replacement and filled that void?
Well, that's sort of the billion-dollar question right now in Detroit. The plan was the Tigers made two trades just on the eve of the season. One was they traded Steve Lombardozzi, who they had acquired in the Doug Fister trade. They traded him to Baltimore for Alex Gonzalez, who was a 37-year-old veteran. Then they traded Jose Alvarez, a minor league pitcher, to Anaheim in exchange for Andrew Romine, who was sort of a floating shortstop between the majors and AAA last year. Gonzalez just got released last week on Sunday, and he's 37 years old. He used to be a great defensive player. He doesn't have that range anymore, and his hitting was not great. Romine is more of a good fielder, not a great hitter. They recently called up Denny Wirth, who has been up off and on the last few years. He's really viewed as a short-term replacement. They have a couple of guys in the minor leagues that still need a little bit more seasoning. Some of the people here think that there's going to be a trade or free agent Stephen Drew would sign after the June draft, where the Tigers wouldn't have to give up a first-round pick. Because one thing they learned with Iglesias, you don't necessarily have to have hitting, but if you have great defense, that's okay. If you have great hitting, but you have to have something great at shortstop. It's too critical a position.
I'm so glad you bring up Stephen Drew, because my producer, Andy Pondillo, and I were talking about that prior to our interview, and potentially, you know, they might be looking to sign him midseason. If he was hypothetically to come on board, what kind of impact do you think that Stephen could make, Mike?
Well, the first thing is I don't think that they're going to sign him, because Dave Dombrowski has said that he believes that if they wait till after the draft to sign Stephen Drew, you would need to sign him to a multi-year deal. Iglesias is expected to be back either at the end of this year or next year, so you don't want to tie yourself up. Stephen Drew played well in Boston last year. He's a dependable shortstop. He's not a gold glove defender, but he gets what's there. And even despite his awful struggles in the playoffs last year, he is a relatively solid hitter. He's what I would call a slightly above average shortstop. And on this team, that would be great. I mean, if you can just put someone in at shortstop, I don't think that Brad Ausmus wants to platoon such an important position. I think he wants to put a guy there and don't worry about it. With Iglesias, you know, maybe he's not a great hitter, even though he hit well last year, but defensively, he's the best defensive shortstop that just about anybody has seen, and it was nice to be able to just drop him in at short and don't worry about it.
Well, I was going to say, you look at Iglesias' numbers from last year, how much will the Tigers miss his offensive production? And you're saying that he will come back?
Well, there's a possibility he might come back later in the year.
Okay.
But even when he was with the Red Sox, the reason that the Red Sox traded him was that they never thought he would be a good enough hitter. Last year, he hit really well, but I don't know if that was a smaller sample size type deal. I think if he ends up hitting in his career 250, he'll have a job for 10, 15 years, because even Omar Vizquel, our first base coach, you know, probable future Hall of Famer, said this kid is unbelievable. I've never seen anything like that in the field. So really defensively, that's where the Tigers also tried to shore up by getting Ian Kinsler, Rajay Davis playing left field, because, you know, they have enough offense, they felt, and they certainly have enough pitching. The defense was really a problem last year. Miguel Cabrera playing third base did a good job for a guy who's not really a third baseman. At first base, he's much better defensively, and I know that Brad feels much better having him at first base.
We are focusing our attention right now on the Detroit Tigers, the AL Central. We're going to step aside for a quick commercial break. We will be rejoined with Mike Eisenberg from Fox Sports Detroit, the coordinating producer, and we're going to get into this fascinating, compelling book, If These Walls Could Talk, Detroit Tigers, Stories from the Detroit Tigers. We will be right back.